Well, thanks, Vicky, for reading for us. My name's John. Let me add my welcome to Steve's today. We're going to be thinking about that passage, so do have it open on page 1061 in front of you. We've all got Bibles, so do have that open if you would like to follow on. Let me pray as we start. Father, we thank you that we've got this passage in front of us today. We thank you that Luke wrote down those words about Jesus' resurrection. And please would you help us to understand them better now and to trust him more. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, who can tell me what else today is other than Easter Sunday? What else is it today? What else is it? Yes.
Auntie Rachel's birthday.
Okay. Great. Happy birthday. What's the date today? 1st of April. So what's the 1st of April? April Fool's Day. Anybody have an April Fool's joke played on them today? Or did anybody play one on somebody else? You did.
I had one played on me by Facebook.
Ah, you had one played on you by Facebook. What was that? Dare I ask?
It was about the Africana Monument in South Africa turned into a goat's tower.
Okay, a monument in South Africa turned into a goat's tower for goats to climb up. Ah, there we go. Anybody had any good ones played on them in the past? Oh, do we have a... Did you? You played one on your dad. What, Isaac, come on, you got to tell us. What April Fool's joke did you play on your dad?
I ate a chocolate egg. I took the wrapper and put a fake eyeball in it and gave it to my dad.
Nice. Nice. Hey, it could have been worse. It could have been a worm. Well, a few years ago, I was at one of the local primary schools. I won't tell you which one it was. It was Springhead, but I won't give its name. Sorry if anybody's got any connection to Springhead School here. It was April the 1st, and it was a Tuesday. I was in doing an assembly, and Mrs. Jones, the head teacher, said to me, "John, can I say something at the end of the assembly, please? Something very serious." So I said, "All right then, of course you can. It's your school." So I did my assembly. I made it a couple of minutes shorter, believe it or not. Mrs. Jones came in. She said, "Now, children, I've got some very bad news for you. You know your favourite climbing wall in the playground? Well, Ofsted have been, and they've told us that climbing wall has to go today." And all the children went, "Oh, no," as they do. And after assembly, they go straight out into the playground for playtime. So they went out, and there was a teacher there who was leading a protest against Ofsted for having to take this climbing wall away. And all the children joined in. It was, "Save our wall, save our wall." And then Mrs. Jones gave a few of us who'd been primed to hang back in assembly these big letters printed out on A4 bits of paper. And we filed out into the playground. We stood there holding up our bits of paper that spelt out April Fools. And as the children noticed, they went, "Oh, no, we've been got." April Fools jokes, they're designed, aren't they, to mess with your head a bit and make you think that something is true when it's not really true. And that's a good question to ask on Easter Sunday, isn't it? Is the empty tomb a kind of big April Fool's joke? Is it something that's not really true that we've been led to believe is true? And we're going to think about that question for a few minutes now. Was the empty tomb really empty, or was something else going on? And to think about it, to start with, we're going to go right back to the very beginning of Luke's Gospel. And if you want to follow on, then do keep your finger in page 1061 and move back to Luke chapter 1, verse 1. Luke chapter 1, verse 1. And Luke writes this: "Many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled among us, just as they were handed down to us by those who from the first were eyewitnesses." Anybody tell me what an eyewitness is? What's an eyewitness? Anyone tell me what an eyewitness is? Nobody quite sure? Oh, they knew at St. Peter's this morning what an eyewitness was. Yes, Isaac, what's an eyewitness? Somebody who experienced a particular event. They were there, weren't they? An eyewitness is somebody who was there. So I could tell you about some poor lady yesterday in Morrison's Cafe who, when she was putting her tray back in one of those tray holder things, her coffee was knocked off and went all over the floor. And it was a little bit embarrassing for her, and they had to get those yellow signs. You know those yellow signs that you trip over that tell you not to trip over something? They got one of those out and all sorts of things. And it was all very sad for her. I saw that. It actually happened. It was an eyewitness. So just as they were handed down to us, says Luke, by those who from the first were eyewitnesses who saw what was going on and servants of the word. With this in mind, since I myself have carefully investigated everything, that's everything about Jesus from the beginning, I have decided to write an orderly account. Now, there's another big idea. Who can tell what an orderly account is? Somebody on this side. Anybody tell what an orderly account is? Yes. That's absolutely right, Ollie. Say it again.
It's an account that's in order from, say, Jesus being born to Jesus dying. It's in time order.
Brilliant. An account of what happened to Jesus from him being born to him dying and being raised from the dead as well. Excellent. Thank you, Ollie. And an account is different from a story, isn't it? An account is always true. A story might be true or it might be made up. So Luke, when he wrote his gospel, wrote stuff that people had actually seen and experienced, and he wrote it down in an orderly way so that we know what happened in what order and that we can tell what really happened concerning Jesus. Now that's big news, isn't it, when we come to the resurrection account, because that means there were actual eyewitnesses to the resurrection. So what's the significance of that empty tomb then that Luke writes about? Well, have a look with me back on page 1061 and Luke 24, verse 1. Luke 24, verse 1. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. Now, Luke wrote down who was there a little bit later on in our reading today. In verse 10, he says that it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and some other women with them as well. So presumably, if you were one of those first readers of Luke's gospel way back nearly 2,000 years ago, then you could have found Mary, Joanna, or the other Mary, and you could have asked them if they had actually been there at Jesus' resurrection. Were they there when they found the tomb empty? And they'd have said something like this. They'd have said, yes, we were going to visit Jesus' tomb, and we found the stone had been rolled away, and the tomb was empty. It happened just as we told Luke when he interviewed us as eyewitnesses to what had happened. Then they'd have told you all about the men in white who announced to them that Jesus had risen from the dead, just as he'd promised. And those women would have told you exactly what they had told Luke, because they were eyewitnesses to what had happened. That Jesus really had risen from the dead. And the significance is enormous, isn't it? We sang about it in our last song. Death is dead, love has won, Christ has conquered. And when Jesus died on the cross on that first Good Friday, he took death to the grave with him. And when he rose from the dead, he left death in the tomb. But here's the thing, to benefit from Jesus' resurrection, we have to turn to him and put our trust in him. We've got to copy the disciples. Which brings us on to the next thing to think about. What's the significance of Jesus' resurrection for us today? Well, let's look at the different reactions that those disciples had, sometimes called the apostles, what the reactions they had to Jesus' resurrection. First of all, verse 9 of Luke 24, verse 9. When they came back from the tomb, the women, they told all these things to the 11. That's the 12 disciples, less Judas. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles, to the disciples. Now, I wonder if you've ever received any really good news. Who's received some good news over the last few weeks or months? Anybody received any really good news? Put your hand up. Let's share some good news. Anybody received good news? Goodness me, you miserable lot. Nobody received. Oh, we've got somebody over here. Who's got their hand up? What was your good news?
I saw Jesus.
Okay. Anybody had any good news? Joshua, uh-oh.
I saw Jesus.
Has anybody had any good news at all? Here we go.
I've got some good news from 4 years ago.
Go on then. Nobody else has had any good news in that time.
Hull City were winning the FA Cup 2-0 against Arsenal, but then it turned.
Yeah, Hull City were winning the FA Cup 2-0 against Arsenal. Who remembers when Hull City were 2-0 up at half-time against Arsenal? Who remembers that? Put your hand up if you remember it. Oh, your arms do work. Great. And Hull were 2-0 up, and when they scored that second goal, I was all over my text, especially to friends who were Arsenal fans, telling them how exciting it was that Hull were 2-0 up. And that's the thing about good news, isn't it? Who's ever had a new job? Put your hand up if you've ever had a new job that you're happy about. Put your hand up if you've ever had a pay rise that you're happy about. Okay, some of us had that kind of thing. Put your hand up if you've ever had some exam results or test results at school that you were happy about. Some of us were. My hands down. Well, when we get good news, we want to tell everybody about the good news, don't we? We can't keep it to ourselves. We text people, we WhatsApp them, we put it on Facebook, we phone our mates, we tell people when we see them. And that's just like the women. They'd had this good news that Jesus was no longer dead, that he had risen from the dead. And they ran and they told Jesus' best friends that it had happened. You would, wouldn't you? Well, I wonder what happened when they got to see the apostles. Well, verse 11, look with me at verse 11. But the apostles did not believe the women. Goodness me. Because their words seemed to them like, what does it say? Nonsense. Nonsense. Well, imagine if I'd been down at St. Peter's this morning and I've been around the back of the church there. Who's been around the back of St. Peter's? There's a graveyard there, isn't there? Imagine if I'd been around to the back of St. Peter's and one of those graves was open. And there were two blokes dressed in sparkly white clothes, sat either side, not doing staying alive, but they were there saying, they are alive. They've risen from the dead. And I went into St. Peter's and I told everybody in St. Peter's, guys, look, you'll never believe this. Round the back, there's an open grave. There's two guys in sparkly white clothes. And they just told me the person who was dead is now risen from the dead. And everybody in St. Peter's would think that my words were nonsense. They would think I was talking a load of claptrap, wouldn't they? And of course, I would have been talking claptrap. It would have been absolute rubbish. Because nobody rises from the dead, do they? Nobody leaves their tomb empty. Except for Jesus. That's right. He really, really did rise from the dead. We have eyewitness accounts written down by Luke, by Matthew, by Mark and by John, to tell us that Jesus' tomb really was empty, that he had risen from the dead. So the third reaction, verse 12. Peter, however, one of the 11, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. You see, Peter didn't think what the women had said was a whole load of nonsense. He didn't think that at all. He wanted to go and have a look for himself. I mean, perhaps it was because he'd remembered that Jesus had taught the disciples a number of times that he would be handed over to the chief priests and the teachers of the law, and that he would be killed. And guess what? He was. Maybe it was that Peter had remembered that Jesus had predicted that he would deny Jesus three times before the cock crowed. And guess what? He did. Or maybe it was that he remembered that Jesus had promised that he would be raised from the dead on the third day. And guess what? He was. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, the third day. And the women had said he had risen. And perhaps you're a Peter here today and you're wondering about all this Christian stuff. And you're not entirely sure. You're not entirely sure what happened in that day. Well, if that's you, then that's brilliant to be wondering. You're in good company, aren't you? You're with Peter, one of the disciples. Maybe come along to our Next Essentials course and keep wondering. It's a really good place to wonder in a little group together and to think about these big things. So if you're wondering, then do keep wondering about this. You see, we need to wonder and take these things seriously, don't we? And think them through for ourselves, however old we are, whether we're 3, 33, 63, or 110, like that chap who was born in Hull. What was his name? Bill Wheaton, or something, who turned 110 last week. We need to keep wondering about these things. You see, it's when we put our trust in Jesus, when we've wondered and thought about it to the point that we actually really have looked into this and think, yeah, this is true. I trust the eyewitnesses. It's when we do that and when we start following Jesus that the reality of Jesus' resurrection is made real in our lives, that we cross from death to life, from headed to judgment and hell, to being headed to heaven and to be in the new creation with Jesus forever and ever. We get spiritual eternal life when we put our trust in Jesus. Spiritual eternal life that will turn into physical eternal life one day. Some of us are getting a little bit older than we were. Well, we're all getting a bit older than we were, aren't we? And when I walk around now, sometimes my knees creak a little bit more. Occasionally, my jaw starts to click. I mean, perhaps I've used it a bit too much in these last few years. What do you reckon, Tony?
Yeah.
Tony says yes. And my jaw clicks. And my body, as I get a bit older, begins to fade and crumble away. I think anybody who's anything older than Ben will know what it's like for our bodies to start giving up a bit. And probably, Ben, you do after a hard afternoon's training on the football pitch. And the thing is, our new creation bodies, if we're trusting in Jesus, we'll get a new creation body that will never, ever fade or spoil or die. Because death will be dead, left in the tomb. And that means when we hear of the death of a beloved Christian believer. We've had three people from the church family at St. Peter's die over the last week. When we hear of the death of a beloved Christian believer, somebody who trusted Jesus, we can be absolutely certain that they are with the Lord, because Jesus' resurrection has been effective in their life. So as we close, April Fool's jokes are designed to make us think that what is not true is true. But Jesus' resurrection is no April Fool's joke. It's no illusion. It actually happened. There are eyewitnesses who told Luke about it, and he wrote it down. Jesus really did rise from the dead. I wonder what you make of that. Let me pray. Our Father, we thank you that we have Luke's account taken from eyewitnesses to tell us that Jesus had risen from the dead. Please help us to be like Peter and to wonder about that, and to take seriously these claims. However old we are, please would you help us to think about Jesus' resurrection. And we ask that for each one of us, that resurrection will be made real in our lives as we trust Jesus and follow him. Amen.